Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C-13 original studio.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
February 16th, 1861. Abraham Lincoln speaks in Buffalo, New York. I'm John Meacham, and this is Reflections of History. Lincoln was riding into the storm. The president-elect had left Springfield on Monday, February 11, 1861, bound for Washington. He had resisted entreaties to come to the Capitol earlier in the winter. "I don't want to go before the middle of February, because I expect they will drive me insane after I get there, and I want to keep tolerably sane, at least until after the inauguration," he remarked. Lincoln now set off on what he modestly called an errand of national importance. Scheduled to speak at several points along the route, Lincoln asked organizers to be efficient, writing, "Please arrange no ceremonies which will waste time." To borrow a phrase from one of his 20th century successors, Franklin Roosevelt, Lincoln's remarks en route to Washington formed a kind of rolling fireside chat, a presidential conversation with the country about the country. As he left aboard the inaugural express from the Great Western Depot in Springfield, Lincoln struck elegiac notes. "For more than a quarter of a century, I have lived among you, and during all that time have received nothing but kindness at your hands. Here I have lived from my youth until now I am an old man. Here the most sacred ties of earth were assumed. Here all my children were born, and here one of them lies buried. To you, dear friends, I owe all that I have, all that I am. All the strange, checkered past seems to crowd now upon my mind. Today I leave you. I go to assume a task more difficult than that which devolved upon George Washington. Unless the great God who assisted him shall be with me and aid me, I must fail. But if the same omniscient mind and almighty arm that directed and protected him shall guide and support me, I shall not fail, I shall succeed. Let us all pray that the God of our fathers may not forsake us now. To him I commend you all. Permit me to ask that with equal security and faith, you will invoke his wisdom and guidance for me." On this date in Buffalo, Lincoln said, "I am unwilling on any occasion that I should be so meanly thought of as to have it supposed for a moment that I regard these demonstrations as tendered to me personally. They should be tendered to no individual man. They are tendered to the country, to the institutions of the country, and to the perpetuity of the liberties of the country for which these institutions were made and created. Your worthy mayor has thought fit to express the hope that I may be able to relieve the country from its present, or I should say, its threatened difficulties. I am sure I bring a heart true to the work. For the ability to perform it, I must trust in that supreme being who has never forsaken this favored land, through the instrumentality of this great and intelligent people. Without that assistance, I shall surely fail. With it, I cannot fail. When we speak of threatened difficulties to the country, it is natural that there should be expected from me something with regard to particular measures. Upon more mature reflection, however, others will agree with me that when it is considered these difficulties are without precedent and have never been acted upon by any individual situated as I am, it is most proper that I should wait, see the developments, and get all the light I can, so that when I do speak authoritatively, I may be as near right as possible." When I shall speak authoritatively, I hope to say nothing inconsistent with the Constitution, the Union, the rights of all the states, of each state, and of each section of the country, and not to disappoint the reasonable expectations of those who have confided to me their votes. In this connection, allow me to say that you, as a portion of the great American people, need only to maintain your composure. Stand up to your sober convictions of right, to your obligations to the Constitution. Act in accordance with those sober convictions, and the clouds which now arise in the horizon will be dispelled, and we shall have a bright and glorious future. And when this generation has passed away, tens of thousands will inhabit this country, where only thousands inhabit it now. So said President-elect Abraham Lincoln. Thank you for listening to Reflections of History, a creation of Shining City Audio, a C13 Originals and John Meacham studio. Reflections of History is executive produced by me, John Meacham, and Chris Corcoran, Chief Content Officer and Founding Partner of Cadence 13. Production and editing led by Lloyd Lockridge, Margot Gray, and Chris Basil. Production assistance by Andy Jaskowitz and Adam Macias. Cadence 13 is an Audacy company.
Hey fam, it's Darren from Push Black with exciting news. Season 8 of Black History Year drops this April. Join us as we take a deep dive into history, challenging the narratives you thought were set in stone, and exposing hidden insights that could activate revolutionary change. This season, we're looking at cultural reclamation and asking, how has our connection to Black culture been corrupted, and what actions can we take to break free? Now, it's a loaded question with answers that'll make you rethink everything, so don't miss out. Tune in to Black History Year. Listen and follow on the Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.